I have been talking to you about the church, and I want to continue that today. So far, I've told you that the church didn't just pop up like a mushroom. It was in Jesus' mind and heart. And as such, because it was Jesus' idea, it belongs to him. It's not your church, not my church, not our church, not anybody else's church. It's Jesus' church. And I also have told you that the church was birthed, came into being through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, the church started. And the last time I told you that the church is made up of those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church together. And all of God's children, all who follow him, all around the world, are the church. And so today I want to talk about the church's business. Or why does the church exist? Why is the church here? And I want to read a couple of scriptures. First out of Acts. One verse, Acts 2:42. And then out of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16. First, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves. And I prefer the New King James Version of that word, devoted, where it says, they continued steadfastly in and to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That gives us a glimpse into that fledgling church, that early church, the church of the first century, the beginning church. And then in Mark, he said, he, that is Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Do you remember that incident in Jesus' life when he was about 12 years old? And he and his parents went up to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And after it was over, they all got together and they were traveling in a company and they left. And somewhere along the way, they discovered that Jesus was not with them. So Joseph and Mary hurried back to Jerusalem, looked all over the place for him, and finally found him in the temple. And he was there discussing and talking with the leaders of the temple. And Mary came to him and said, why did you cause us to worry? And Jesus answered her and said, why were you seeking me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? My Father's business. That tells me that Jesus came here for a purpose. It wasn't just to visit planet Earth. He came here for a purpose. And that purpose is stated in what Jesus said here, even at 12 years old. It shows us that even at that early age, he had some understanding of his purpose, of why he was here. He might had to be about his Father's business. And then when Jesus began his ministry, he called a group of men to be his followers. You remember that? For the next few 3 years, he prepared them to take over for him when he was gone. After the Holy Spirit came to them, they became the leaders of the church. And they continued the work that Jesus began while he was here in the flesh. But now we are Jesus' followers. And we have been given the responsibility and the privilege to continue his work in our day. So exactly what is that work? Or maybe a better question is, what is the purpose of the church? Why is the church in the world? I believe the church's purpose may be summed up in two action words. And I also believe these two words coincide with the two ways that the church is manifested. And they fit together with the two scriptures that I read to you earlier. The first action word is come. And to be specific, come together. I believe the Beatles had a song called that, didn't they? Come together. Remember I told you in one of the other sermons that the word used for church in the New Testament is ecclesia. And what that word means is a gathered assembly. People who come together and in an assembly and usually for a stated purpose. The church, the body of Christ, the people of God, gathers together for worship, for fellowship, for prayer, and for edification, or to be built up in the Lord. Let's look at each one of those things. We come together for worship because we constantly need to be spiritually strengthened and renewed. That's the reason the writer of Hebrews admonishes us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's not that we can't worship God on our own, and we should. But we also need to meet together with other Christians and encourage one another. As we worship the Lord in song and in prayer through Scripture, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, and as we hear teaching from the Word, we receive the help that we need. Some people have called this having our batteries recharged, our spiritual batteries. And what happens if we don't keep our battery charged up? It goes dead, doesn't it? And so we come together to be renewed, to be strengthened, to be helped, to be lifted up, to be prepared for what the Lord has for us to do. Also, we gather for worship so that we can just get our minds off of the world. Come apart. Remember Jesus said to his disciples when he saw that they had been working hard and they were sort of stressed out? He said, come apart for a while. Come apart before you fall apart. Come apart and pray. Come apart and be in the presence of the Lord. Come apart and let the Lord renew you by His presence. I have found that people who absent themselves, who decide to drop out of attending church services, worship services, as they continue to do that, many of them fall away from the Lord altogether. It's so very important that we continue steadfastly, that we come together with other Christians and raise our voices in praise and worship unto the Lord and to sense His presence among us and to be lifted up and strengthened and helped in His presence. Get a different perspective on life, because, you know, we can all get bogged down by living in the world. We also need to come together for fellowship. The New Testament concept of fellowship is so much more than casual acquaintanceship. It involves more than just seeing people during church services or carrying dinners and greeting them and maybe patting them on the back and saying, I'm so glad to see you. It's good to be with you. It means the sharing of life. That word is a very special word. It means a total sharing of life. And as you look at that first church in the New Testament, you see that they really shared their lives with one another. It means caring about one another on a deep level. It means bearing one another's burdens, weeping with one another, and rejoicing with one another. You know, those early Christians were such a small minority in their culture. So very few in the Roman Empire. And they were constantly being persecuted, constantly had to deal with unbelievers. And so they had to stick together. And as they stuck together, it strengthened them. It helped them as they shared their lives with one another. It was said of those first Christians, "See how they love one another." That was their signature. That was how other people, unbelievers, saw them. That maybe even they didn't share their belief, but they could see that those Christians really loved one another. Too often, people on the outside look at the church in our day and say, "See how they fight with one another." Or at least see how they tolerate one another. I believe that those early Christians brought many into their fold simply because they showed that depth of loving care and sharing in their lives. Other people could see that they truly loved one another and that they were willing to lay down their lives for each other and that they were willing to help each other. They were willing to go out of their way to reach out and help them in some way or another. And many were attracted to them for that reason. That loving care and sharing of life is what is called New Testament fellowship. Another reason we come together is for prayer. As I said about worship, it's not that we can't pray on our own, and we should. But we also need to pray with other Christians. As we look around at the world we live in, there's so many needs. We can feel overwhelmed by them. Have you ever felt that way? I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. Sometimes I don't even know how to pray. Just feel overwhelmed by the needs. And we can't meet all those needs individually or even together because they are so great. But what we can do is bring the Lord into the equation. We can bring the Lord into the situation through prayer. And He is able to meet all needs. Jesus said, "If two of you agree concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." If there is power in agreement, in only two agreeing together, just think of the power that can be processed, that can be experienced. When a whole church body comes together and lifts up their voices together in prayer unto the Lord, power released. A powerful way to pray. We are so much stronger and so much more effective when we put our faith together and pray with one another. Yet another reason we come together is to hear preaching and teaching from the Word of God. How many of you know that when we become Christians, we're not finished with the process? We've only really just begun, as the song says. We also must continue growing in the Lord. That's why I like that statement about the early Christians. They continued steadfastly. They didn't just start and quit, but they continued. So many people need to hear that when we become a Christian, we've just started. We need to continue. We need to continue with the Word of God. We need to continue hearing good preaching and teaching from God's Word. Now, I also want to stress that each one of us needs to do our part to facilitate our own growth. We shouldn't rely completely on other people to help us grow, because there is so much that we can do on our own, and we should. We can read and study the Bible on our own. We can do so much to help ourselves grow. There are opportunities. They used to call this years ago the means of grace. It simply means the opportunities that the church provides, and the church should provide opportunities for people to grow, for people to grow in their faith, to grow in their commitment, to grow in their discipleship to Jesus. We need to avail ourselves of the opportunities to receive teaching and preaching that comes from God's Word. All growth opportunities that we share should help us in at least two ways. One, we should all be growing in Christian character. What's that mean? It means, in other words, we should be transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. We should be showing forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, and so on. Because those represent the character of Jesus. That's what Jesus was like. And so, we want to become more and more like Him. Like John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but He must increase. He must increase in us. People must see Jesus in us more and more. And the more we become like Jesus, the more useful we are to the Lord. The more we become transformed into the likeness of Jesus, the more the Lord is able to take us and use us in serving Him. That should be every Christian's goal. I want to be more like Jesus so that the Lord can take my life and use it in whatever way He wants to. This leads us to the other action word that I mentioned earlier. And that is the word go. The first word is come. The second word is go. And it is found in Jesus' commission to His disciples, which includes us. We're His disciples. He said, go forth into all the world and preach the good news. The Greek word for this manifestation of the church is diasporo. The word dispersion comes from that. It simply means to scatter. So we are called together by the Spirit of the Lord into this fellowship with one another to worship and the other things I mentioned. We are called out of the world and into this fellowship with one another. And then we are called forth to go into the world, to live and to serve. It means that we are responsible for spreading the good news. We're not saved simply to bask in our salvation. We are saved to reach out to others so that they also might be saved. We don't have to set up a soapbox on the street corner and preach, although that's one way to do it. There was an area when I was going to Bible college in town called Market Square, and that's where all the preachers went. They would stand on the street corner and preach to people. People would stop by and listen to them. Well, maybe you don't feel like you can do that sort of thing, but we all have a place and we have a part in the ministry and in the mission of Jesus Christ. We have something that we can do. And whatever it is that we can do, we should do. All we really need to do is to tell other people what Jesus has done for us and what He means to us. In 1 Peter, we are told, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be ready. Be aware. Be looking for opportunities to share your faith with others. Doesn't mean you have to have a full-blown understanding of theology and all that. All it simply means is tell someone what Jesus did for you. Tell him what he's doing for you, how he's helping you, what he's doing in your life. We can always do that. All of us can do that. And be prepared whenever that opportunity comes along. I believe personally that the Holy Spirit is in the world and that he is dealing with people. He is preparing hearts for people, in people, to come to the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing when we are able to match up with other people whom the Holy Spirit has been preparing, and we're able just to say the right word and able to lead them on to the Lord. And they can have that relationship with him and have the life that he provides for them. We need to be alert to such opportunities. I know I've missed opportunities like that, and perhaps you have too. So we need to watch. We need to be ready. And when the opportunity comes along, just jump in and share what the Lord has done in your life. The Lord might also call some of us to go to other places, even other countries, to spread the good news. But even if we do not feel the call to go, we can help those who do go with our prayers, as we pray here together, and by underwriting them with our financial gifts. The main thing is to realize we have a responsibility to reach out with God's love to others. However, and whenever we have the opportunity, whether it's here, whether it's right here, or it's some other country. There's one other way we can effectively share the good news. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see the good things that you do and give glory to your Father in heaven." As we reach out to a hurting world with loving acts of service, people are drawn to the Lord. I don't know how that works, but it does work, I know. People are drawn when they see other people who are sharing God's love, who are doing things to minister to people, to help people. We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world, Jesus said. And that means we are to have an impact on the world. We are to bring about change rather than letting the world affect us. So this is the church's business. And we should be minding our business. As someone has said, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. It is our purpose as God's people and as the body of Christ. And when we think of it in that way, it's exciting to realize that we can actually make a difference. You can. I can. All of us together can, as individual Christians and together as the church. Remember this, there are no hopeless situations. There are no hopeless people, because with God, all things are possible. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have called us to follow Jesus. You've called us, Father, to take up his cross. You've called us, Father, to be the church and to do the work that Jesus started when he was here on this earth. What a privilege you've given us, Father. What a tremendous responsibility we have. We can't do it alone. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, who makes up the difference of what we can do and what we can't do. So help us, Father, to realize that we are the church. We have a part to play. We have a role to play. We have something that we can do. Give us the courage to step forth in faith and do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name.